Interesting Items 1130. Howdy all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. History. 2. Election. 3. Arecibo. 4. Monolith. 5. DOD. 1. History. One of the things I am blessed with are really smart readers of this weekly who get their 2x4 out from time to time and gently get my attention on things I write from time to time. Like most educational opportunities, there is some discomfort involved. But the important part is that these opportunities usually end up triggering some sort of head scratching, usually a dangerous thing. Last week's episode took place when a correspondent noted that what the left is engaged in doing is precisely what the National Socialists, yeah, I know, a violation of Godwin's law, did in Germany 80 years ago when they took down the Weimar Republic. Now, given the way the most vocal lefties have run their mouths over the last several years, I don't doubt their endgame, goal a bit, and am in agreement with my correspondent. The problem we have with this is that history rarely repeats itself, mostly because humans are, usually, learning machines, and whatever happens next will have different people making different decisions, which is another reason the left is doing its level best to crater the public education system. Uneducated people are so much easier to lead down the primrose path. Given all that, what are the three biggest problems we conservatives need to solve with the left? My dime says it is the media, big tech, and the teachers' unions. Of course, your mileage and list may vary. But if we solve or at least neuter these three, the political left is roadkill. Media. The real strength of the media has always been in what they successfully hide from their viewers. This time around, not only did they promulgate the 5 hoaxes of the Trump term in office, Charlottesville fine people, injecting bleach, Orange Hitler, Russia collusion, and the Trump response to the Wuhan flu. The other side of the coin is all the stuff they hid about Joe Biden's personal corruption, his history of sidling up to the segregationists, his fondness for little girls and young women, and his use of political office to enrich family members who in turn enrich him. They also completely buried the Hunter Biden laptop story. How many votes did this turn? Who knows, 5%. More? Certainly not less, as 17% of Biden voters apparently regret their vote, because they didn't know about his scandals. 17% of 80 million is 13.6 million, 17% of 70 million is 12 million, enough to make the planned election fraud much more exciting than it was. Certainly enough to turn any election. How do we turn the media around? We do it by destroying them in the marketplace. And this is underway. The newspapers, which grew in the early part of the 19th century, are busily going out of business, following the news magazines. Following their betrayal of conservatives, Fox exit is well underway, much to the distress of Paul Ryan. FNC people are going to Newsmax and OAN. CNN is up for sale. Newsmax may be also. Trump may be looking at becoming a media mogul should he not successfully be reinstalled in office. Purchase a company or two, clean house, and turn it over to his kids, all of whom seem to be well versed in the arts of persuasion. Not enough to turn the tide in 2020, but most certainly capable of turning the tide in 2022 and beyond. Faster, please. Big tech. Big tech is one of the most frustrating things we are dealing with, as they keep on doing whatever they are doing, censoring all things conservative. Congress calls them in from time to time, makes them look stupid and venal in hearings, pat themselves on the back, and go on to the next event with no change afterwards. Nothing permanent ever seems to happen. Section 230 only protects them from lawsuits, and any efforts to undo this will be immediately reversed by any Biden FCC appointee. What really needs to happen is an old-fashioned, Teddy Roosevelt class trust-busting round aimed at all the companies, including Apple. While that is percolating away, there is a move of the 80 million Trump voters away from big tech to other platforms, Parler, Gab, and DuckDuckGo. That move is accelerating, and neither big tech nor the media is real happy about it. How many votes did big tech turn? Robert Epstein, who researches this sort of thing, believes that Google all by itself was responsible for turning a minimum of 6 million votes. This does not include any estimates about what Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Apple, or any of another 20 companies who are busily deplatforming conservatives were able to swing. Add that total to what the media was able to swing, and you have at least 20 million votes, 12.5% of the total votes cast including fraud, swung to Harris, Biden by Google and the media. The marketplace is well on its way to addressing this, but they will need congressional help to bust the monopolies. Faster, please. Teachers' unions. While the direct electoral impact of teachers' unions has not been estimated to the best of my knowledge, they and their co-conspirators on college campuses did their part by indoctrinating and dumbing down our children from kindergarten to postgraduate students. Every single one of them indoctrinated to hate America and everything we are based upon. People who hate this nation, who have been taught to hate this nation just like the Soviets indoctrinated their children to hate America, will hate America, and vote for people who do also. Add to this the incessant race baiting and victim mongering out of the public schools and academia, and you have created the toxic brew our children are drinking. Solution? Happily, it is a solution that the political left is busily implementing by closing the public schools and universities via endless repeating Wuhan flu lockdowns. Every day the public schools are closed, is another day parents are looking at vouchers, private schools, and online education just a little more favorably. And the private schools nationwide have been in session since August. 2. Election. A couple observations on the election for your consideration. California Republicans were really hammered a couple years ago by extensive ballot harvesting. They've been complaining about it for at least a decade to no avail. Ballot harvesting was the vehicle that Cali Democrats used to flip Republican House seats in Orange County, giving Nancy Pelosi her majority in 2018. This year, Republicans finally got smart, figuring if you can't beat them, join them, setting up their own ballot harvesting operation. Democrats were shocked, simply shocked, demanding their ballot harvesting boxes be removed. Went to court to get them to stop. The Cali court disagreed. A combination of the failed Prop 16 and Republican ballot harvesting took two of those congressional seats back from Democrats. The Trump legal challenge to the election is winding its way through the court system. So far, not a lot of positive news, though they only need a single SCOTUS opinion in their favor for the dam to crack and everything change. In Bush v. Gore, one of the things that the SCOTUS used to halt the changes in election law the Florida Supremes were doing after the election was an equal protection rule. You can't have differing rules in different counties for sending, receiving, signing, verifying or counting ballots, all of which the Florida Supremes demanded. Today, we have the same problem in GA, Oz, MN, ME, and PA. The problem the SCOTUS has in not wanting to take this up is that if they choose not to do so, for whatever reason, they will be fast-tracking this foolishness for the foreseeable future. And next time around, both parties will be heavily involved in fraud. 3. Arecibo. The 1,000-diameter Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico has been operating for nearly 60 years. It was for most of its useful lifetime the largest single radio telescope dish on the planet. The telescope was constructed by lining the hollow of a mountain with reflective material and suspending a receiver dish overhead. The telescope has survived multiple earthquakes, hurricanes, and other inclement weather. The diameter allowed it to view shapes of tumbling near-Earth asteroids over the years. Unfortunately, the action of the elements over time is not so gentle to large metallic constructs. Last August, one of the support cables slipped out of its socket, hit it, and caused a 100-long tear in the disk. Structural engineers took a look at it and decided the problem was repairable. A second cable snapped November 6 after 3 months of bearing the increased load. Evaluations after the second cable concluded that the structure was in danger of a catastrophic failure and that sending a repair team to replace the two cables would put the team in too much danger. Even if the repairs were successful, outside a major restructure, replacing all cables and their attach points, there is no guarantee that the structure would remain intact long enough to rebuild it. The NSF decided to decommission the telescope. While groundbreaking, Arecibo has been replaced by more capable instruments, including a larger one in China in 2016. Today, radio telescope work is being done with arrays of smaller dishes. 4. Monolith. Nothing like some locals with a sense of humor. State biologists in Utah discovered a 10 shiny metal pillar. It had been in place perhaps as long as 5 years ago. State biologists discovered it on a November 18 Hilo survey of sheep in the area. Once the story got out, interest in the beast exploded, with the state doing its best to keep the actual location hidden. Shades of 2001. This one was a triangular prism of shiny metal held together with screws and rivets. Just as soon as news of the object exploded, it was removed on November 27, likely hauled off in the back of a pickup. Local artists who do these sorts of things in the Utah desert all denied owning. Nice to see folks with a sense of humor. 5. DOD. There has been some changes in the Department of Defense, DOD, over the last month. SecDef Mark Esper was fired November 9. He was long rumored to be on his way out for publicly counseling against the use of active duty military to quell the Democrat anti-FA, BLM riots over the summer. Military Times happily describes him as no yes man. He was replaced by Christoph Miller, the director of the National Counterterrorism Center. Miller is a special operations kind of guy who retired from the Army in 2014. Sounds like Miller is in the process of elevating the special operators to the functional equivalent of a military department as authorized in the 2017 DA. This is also in line with the National Defense Strategy. Concurrently with his elevation, will be a continuing drawdown in Afghanistan, which DOD swamp creatures were bragging about ignoring and delaying for months in clear violation of President Trump's wishes. Also underway is discussion of a possible raid of a CIA server farm in Frankfurt shortly after the election. John Solomon in Just the News reports that there was a raid, but this was in July, on a facility that hosted sensitive hacked files from U.S. law enforcement agencies. If Solomon is correct, there was no raid after the election, there was no firefight between special operators and CIA operatives, and no raid on site. More later. AG. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams, speech at the Philadelphia State House, August 1, 1776.